You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our mental health chat. We're talking with Dr. Jerry Bezuidenhout, speaking about OCD. And today we're looking at therapy options, including CBT and ERP. Now, there is hope for those living with OCD, and it often comes through therapy. Most effective treatments are cognitive behavioral therapy, that's CBT, and exposure and responsive prevention. Today, we explore what these therapies involve and how they help to disrupt the OCD cycle and what individuals can expect when starting their treatment journey. Doc, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bongi.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. Looking forward to this conversation. Let's start off with what exactly CBT is and how it helps individuals with OCD.
So CBT is a therapy that was developed specifically looking at depression, and then with time it's shown itself to be quite effective with obsessive-compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. So what it means is that it means cognitive behavioral therapy. So it focuses on thinking. We break it down into sort of simple terms.
Okay.
Head, heart, and hand.
Okay.
So it focuses on what's going on in the head. That's the cognitive side.
Mm-hmm.
Then the heart are the emotions that we experience with certain thoughts. And then the hand is the behavior.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And so what it does, so you identify the cycle in an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And we know with OCD, there's a very specific cycle. People get an intrusive thought,
mm-hmm.
then they become anxious, and then they do something to relieve themselves of that anxiety or discomfort,
mm-hmm.
and then the cycle starts again.
Okay.
And what cognitive behavior therapy does, it looks at why, you know, or what's the cycle that and the pattern that we see, and for different sort of either thoughts or compulsions, the behavior,
mm-hmm.
they are different patterns.
Okay.
And if we understand the patterns, we can intervene in different areas in the patterns.
Okay. Can you give an example?
So let's just take a normal example. I tend to worry about the future.
Okay.
Then I become anxious.
Yeah.
And then I start washing dishes. So I get the thought about going too far in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Then a normal way or general technique is then I make a decision not to go there in my thoughts.
Okay.
So, you know, we've done the planning for the future,
yeah.
so it's okay. We're not going to go there. So yeah. I block it.
Okay.
With OCD, the thoughts are quite intrusive, yeah. so it's much more difficult.
Okay.
So that's where the response prevention, exposure response prevention comes in, because that looks at, you take control of exposing yourself to whatever sort of triggers your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and then you learn how to prevent the automatic response to that trigger.
Okay.
So, if for an example, my intrusive thought is, you know, is to fear being contaminated with germs.
Yeah.
Then I get anxious and worried, and then I wash my hands continuously.
Yeah.
So that's the automatic response.
Yes.
By teaching myself that, okay, I can be, you know, and there's different levels of exposure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first level of exposure is to think about something,
mm-hmm.
and then to expose myself to low contamination sort of areas or risks, and then increase the kind of perceived risk areas. And each time I teach myself, I can act differently.
Okay, can you do this yourself?
And that's
would you need a professional to help you with that?
Well, some people are good. They can work with it,
okay.
and lots of people will need a professional with that. So what you do is, remember, whenever illness is chronic, it starts, and when I mean chronic, I'm, you know, if an illness is there for longer than 3 months, the illness starts having relationships to each area of your life, and each area of your life develops a relationship with the illness. And by understanding, how does the different areas have an impact on my illness and my illness on areas of my life, I can see patterns. And then I can grade my kind of either my intrusive thoughts or my behavior. And then I can also grade the kind of triggers on the outside to see which one is the least threatening and which one is the most threatening.
Okay.
And then some people can sort of look and learn how to manage those kind of less intrusive thoughts and behaviors by focusing on, okay, if I'm exposed to it, what can I do differently so that I don't have to have that kind of same automatic response that the illness tries to push me into?
Right.
And lots of my patients are actually quite good at doing that on their own, with the less threatening sort of areas.
And what makes EFT particularly effective compared to other therapies?
It's because it's so practical. It is simply practical. I've got control over my behavior, and I can learn to not necessarily just react to a feeling. I'm proactively acting differently.
Okay.
Because the illness makes me want to react in a certain way. So I feel out of control. You know, I'm boxed in. I have to wash my hands 20 times before I'm allowed to do something else.
So if someone believes that, for example, like let's use this example, someone like who's like a germaphobe, that one time they decide, okay, let me just relax. I've washed my hands already. I don't have to keep on, disinfecting everything. I think I'll be fine. And then for whatever reason, the person does catch a cold or something. Does that reinforce that? See, I was right.
Yes, yeah, that's a sort of negative reinforcement. Remember, our brain is wired to see the negative and see the danger because it's made to keep us alive.
So
our brain is more sensitive to the kind of negative feedback loops that we experience. If you take that example, you know, I've got this fear of contamination. I get sort of worried, and then I wash my hands. By breaking the washing hands and the, you know, when does the fear of contamination increase or when does it decrease? You can actually break, you know, your life down into smaller pieces. Let's say, for instance, I've been to the bathroom, so there's an eye of fear, so I wash more. If I have a cup of coffee, there's also the fear, but it's much, much less. Then you focus on that kind of hand washing. So you don't fight the big fight with going to the loo and then washing hands. You decide, what do I do? I take my cup with, on the handle. So there's no contamination between my hands and my mouth. So I'm allowed to, I decide to drink my coffee without washing hands before or after. Now, what happens with that is that you get an increase in anxiety. Now, people tend to misinterpret that anxiety. They say, you know, normally increase in anxiety means there's danger. Our brains can't differentiate between danger and change. To give you an example for that is that if I walk down a path every day, my brain starts getting to know, you know, this, there's a car here, there's a bush there, you know, there's a stop street. So it can warn me about danger or possible danger. Now I walk down a different path. My brain immediately warns me that this is an unknown path, so I have to be more cautious. And the way that the brain does that is to make me more anxious.
Oh, wow.
So if I wash my hands on a regular basis, that becomes the norm.
Okay.
And the brain, yep, it warns you. It just warns you. You're going down a different route. So that anxiety you can just ignore.
Okay.
Because it's just the brain telling you you're doing something different.
Something's different, yeah. Not necessarily something's dangerous.
That's right. So part of that sometimes is that people will have to learn to do things differently, but also teach themselves to be okay with feeling uncomfortable.
Mm, okay.
Because that can also be part of OCD, is that you become scared of your own emotions and you act in a continuous manner to try and get away from the anxious feeling or the discomfort feeling.
Yeah.
So just by, again, that's where spirituality comes in, anchoring yourself in your spiritual belief system and in promises from God, or in, praising God. Mm-hmm. That anchors you beyond your fears.
Yeah.
And that can help sometimes with that discomfort.
Interesting.
And or you go and sit and you experience drinking the cup of coffee without washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And when your anxiety goes up, you just remind yourself, oh, it's okay, I'm just experiencing, I'm just thinking about this. We don't have to worry, I'm just thinking about it.
Wow.
You're exposing yourself to that different behavior.
Yeah.
In a very progressive manner. So you'd learn to be okay with feeling uncomfortable.
Very interesting. Sure. To think that something as simple as having a cup of coffee can be such a big deal for someone, that's incredible the way that the mind works, eh?
It is incredible. And, that's how disabling this disorder can be. Mm. You know, people can't enjoy the basics of life.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that someone might face during ERP, and how would you manage such challenges?
Well, I think that one of the biggest challenges is people being too optimistic. Okay. Optimism means I'm positive about the future, and I don't tend to see the possible problems.
Okay.
That's the one side. The other side is pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just see the bad, and I can't change. I've got no control over this. The other possible challenge is that increase in anxiety and feeling overwhelmed. And the other challenge is that people see the illness out of context of their whole life.
Okay, what does that mean?
And they just focus on that. That means is that if I'm tired, then my intrusive thoughts can be much more.
Mm-hmm.
And my ability to cope and manage that kind of change that's needed is less because I haven't got energy.
Okay.
Or if I've got a small toddler screaming in my ears all the time, that has an impact on my thoughts and my feelings.
Yeah.
So if and by addressing, let's say, the tiredness, the issue can be that I've got a poor sleep hygiene and I'm not, I'm on the phone until 12 o'clock at night. By addressing the sleep and not the OCD, I can manage the OCD better.
Okay, I get you. Okay.
By being realistic about how much energy do I have to change when I've got a small toddler, hanging onto my leg all the time.
Yeah.
Being kind and graceful. That already just alleviates a lot of stress, and it's also very self-accepting in terms of, okay, but I can do this much.
Mm.
Because a realistic and proactive planning in changes is more likely to be successful. It takes longer, but you're more likely to be able to do it.
Right.
Optimism makes you want to try and do everything, and then you fall flat, and then you lose hope. And hope is a very precious commodity with a chronic condition.
Mm.
You want to nurture that and keep that alive.
Yes.
And therefore, it's so important to be realistic in your planning.
Yeah. And hope is different from optimism, the optimism you're talking about a moment ago.
Yeah, it's very different. For me, realism with hope is a really a true reflection of our spiritual belief system in Christianity. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I have to walk through the door today. I have to get dressed.
Yes.
Despite my troubles.
Yeah.
But I can still have faith in that God will make things better in the future. Mm. And that He's with me.
Yeah.
For me, that is really, you know, that's hope with realism. That's why I differentiated between optimism and pessimism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and realism and pessimism, it's two different things. If I'm realistic, I know what the challenges are.
Yeah.
If I'm pessimistic, I see all the challenges see the negative consequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't try and make a difference.
Yeah. Big difference. All right. Now, can therapy be combined with medication? And if so, when would that be appropriate?
Very often it's combined, because OCD is a very biological problem. You know, it's really a dysfunction in the way the brain thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast majority of patients do benefit from medication. And it alleviates a lot of the problems that patients struggle, especially those kind of intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
If that calms down, it's much easier to work with it, and also the anxiety that goes with it. So for me, if you've looked at yourself in terms of a holistic person, the physical side of your life, the emotional, the social, and the spiritual side, and you're fairly okay with what you're doing there, and the symptoms is of such a degree that it, you know, it really impairs your functioning, then it's worthwhile looking at medication.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take that example with a mum having a toddler sort of clinging to her.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get rid of the child. So you have to manage yourself in context of having a child and having very little energy.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, medication manages the illness.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to manage life. Yeah. You still have to manage the consequence of the illness.
Sure.
And that's where it really can help a lot. You know, so because if your intrusive thoughts are less, you can attend to the baby much easier.
Yes.
Okay. And you can manage your kind of compulsions and the emotions that goes with the OCD much, much better.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Doctor, for coming through and sharing that with us. Any final thoughts you might want to share with us with regard to therapy for OCD?
It's really worthwhile. It's an illness that's really worthwhile treating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very disabling. And those intrusive thoughts are very distressing.
Mm.
And having a very practical, proactive, planned sort of reaction to your illness makes a huge difference over time. And you're much more likely to be effective and improving quality of life. And not just for the illness. My experience is, if you do this in a thoughtful manner, your quality of life and a lot of spheres of your life actually improves.
Mm, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming through and sharing your knowledge on the subject.
Welcome.
And looking forward to continuing on the lesson. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.